Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast with me, your host, Francesca. So in this episode, I'm continuing to answer questions that some of you have written in and asked about in response to an email that I sent out a couple of weeks ago to my email list asking for questions. So thank you to everyone who responded. Your questions and your emails have been really great to read, and I really do appreciate the interaction and, you know, the response from you. I love, obviously, doing this podcast. I love everything that I share with you because it is, you know, it's just what I'm so passionate about, and I want that information to be there for you. But I absolutely love responding to people's questions. I love doing Q&As. I really do thrive on that more so because you just know that you're answering something that someone has specifically asked about. And I just love that feeling. So thank you for writing in. So last week was all about hormone therapy, body identical estrogen and progesterone, in response to a listener question all about it, saying that they didn't, this person had heard of it, but just didn't know past the name, what it actually means. All she knew was HRT. So I went into the ins and outs of body identical hormone therapy versus synthetic hormone therapy, and kind of like just my sort of information that I can pass on. Obviously, I can't advise, which I said millions of times on that episode, I can't advise on whether a person should use it or not, but I just shared with you the information that I have so that you can then take that information, you know, go and research more off the back of that information, and or, you know, go off and speak to your doctor about it. So in today's episode, kind of follows on from that question a little bit, which we'll link in as we go through. This was a question I had from a 46-year-old listener who wanted to know more about what's happening to a woman's body when she goes into surgical menopause, for example, as a result of having a full hysterectomy, or chemical menopause as a result of, for example, cancer treatment like chemotherapy, radiotherapy, versus women who get to menopause naturally. She asked, what can we do to support our health when hormones are not an option? And by that, I assume she means when hormone therapy, so use of estrogen and progesterone at menopause, isn't an option for that particular person. She asked, overall, what's happening to our bodies that differs from women who reach menopause naturally? So I really love this question. Firstly, again, thank you to this person. You'll know who you are, but obviously won't mention names. But thank you for writing in with this question. And I'm really sorry that you've had to experience all of this, you know, and that you are at this point. But I really love the fact that you're listening to this podcast and probably many others similar, and you're really trying to support your body as much as you can and understand what's going on. So, you know, well done for wanting to do that. So let me just go into the information that I got from this person in their question, and then we'll answer it. So she received a breast cancer diagnosis in 2020. So she would have been, around 41 if she's 46 now. And that's now been treated, and she's in remission, which is wonderful news. So congratulations. Well done for getting through it. And, you know, long may that continue for life now that you remain in remission. So her cancer was estrogen positive, which means that the tumours have estrogen receptors, and these receptors allow the cancer cells to bind to estrogen, which then stimulates the cells, those cancer cells, to grow and divide. So that's what it means when we're saying, like, you know, estrogen positive cancer. So where this person said, how can we support our bodies if we can't use hormone therapy? Usually in the cases of estrogen positive cancers, your oncologist doctors will advise that you're not a candidate for using estrogen therapy, even though you're now in menopause, because they deem that to be sort of potentially unsafe to potentially bring that cancer back. So these would just be conversations that each person individually has to have with their own doctor, their own oncologist. And I'm assuming this person has had this conversation and been advised not to to use hormone therapy. So that was part of her question. So she wants to know the difference between reaching menopause naturally versus getting to it surgically or via cancer treatment. So that's what we're going to have a look at. So her chemotherapy treatment put her into menopause, ending her periods and giving her hot flashes. In America, we say hot flashes, and this person was American. In the UK, we say flushes. I don't know why we can't just agree on one or the other, but I'm reading it out. So she said hot flashes. So this would have meant that she skipped the perimenopause phase. So being 41 when she had that treatment, she was essentially catapulted straight to menopause. And that's known as chemical menopause or medically induced menopause. Either term basically means that as a result of having specific treatment, usually chemo, radiotherapy, this person at whatever age is then catapulted into menopause. They stop, their periods stop for life, and they are now at that menopause stage at an age that's, you know, potentially much younger than when they would have got there naturally. So you might think, oh, but isn't this good? Like, if you've listened to my episodes, for example, you've read all, you know, you're on social media and you're seeing all the horrible stuff that people say about the perimenopause phase, you might think, but isn't it good to bypass the stormy hormonal waters of perimenopause? But no, it's not, because getting to menopause chemically or surgically can be harder on the person because their hormones essentially fall off a cliff, in inverted commas, rather than taking that gradual journey, you know, through the trees and down the mountain, eventually getting to the bottom, which is menopause, when their body naturally arrives there. So that would be after going 12 months without having a period. So we would move into perimenopause around, you know, late 30s, early 40s. This person being 41 when she had the chemo would just be moving into the sort of stormier waters of perimenopause. And she would essentially go through the, you know, through that gradual transition towards eventually going 12 months without having a period for anywhere between, you know, 6, 10, 11, 12 years. And her body would naturally get to that point. But in the case of chemically induced or surgically induced menopause, you essentially fall off a cliff. Your hormones fall off a cliff. They just stop. The ovaries just stop making them. So once we'll look at the sort of implications of that in a moment. Once her chemotherapy was finished in 2021, she then started taking tamoxifen, which basically blocks the effects of estrogen on the estrogen receptor positive breast cancer cells. So it is essentially to, you know, stop the cancer returning. But over the years that she was using tamoxifen, it started to cause issues in her uterus and eventually resulted in her needing to have a total hysterectomy. And she had that in February of this year, 2025, so only a few months ago. And she had a total hysterectomy where she had her uterus, fallopian tube, cervix and ovaries removed. And that put her into full menopause. So essentially you wake up from that surgery, you know, in menopause. Your ovaries are now no longer making estrogen and progesterone. So she now wants to make sure she's doing the best she can for her heart, her joints and her bones specifically, which is really great. Like I said earlier, it's just really wonderful that people want, you know, you want to go out there and advocate for yourself and support these areas of your health that you're aware need supporting. So many people don't even know that these areas of health, you know, heart health, joints and bones need supporting. And I'd add to that the brain as well, because that's another huge organ that's quite significantly impacted by menopause. So firstly, let's now kind of just look at both of her main question and sort of break it into two. So firstly, what is happening to a woman's body when they go into surgical or chemical menopause versus a woman who gets to menopause naturally? They just go through perimenopause and eventually have 12 months without having a period and then they're menopausal. So what's the difference between natural menopause and surgical or chemical menopause? So natural menopause, just to sort of break it down a bit further, natural menopause is a gradual biological process where a woman's ovaries slowly reduce their hormone production, estrogen and progesterone, over time. And that typically starts in early 40s, late 30s, early 40s, and that's also known as perimenopause. And if you've listened to my podcast episodes, you're going to know what's happening there and, you know, all the ins and outs of that. And that eventually that all results in menopause around average age 51. that's not the right or the only age, it's just the average age. So during perimenopause, estrogen fluctuates and then starts to decline, and progesterone starts to decline earlier on before estrogen does. And that's all happening in this sort of non-linear, often erratic way. I've talked about that in previous episodes, the erratic nature of estrogen and, you know, during perimenopause and how that affects us. And then eventually it starts its decline. Progesterone starts its decline earlier. And, you know, if you've been listening to my podcast since the beginning, you already know how that impacts us. So again, you know, you might think, well, isn't it great to bypass that? But it isn't, because perimenopause gives the body and the brain time to adjust in the to the sort of changing internal environment. And I say the brain because the brain really does respond to the change, that sort of change in the way estrogen fluctuates throughout the month and its decline. The brain, we have so many estrogen receptors in the brain, and the brain is one of the things that, and progesterone as well. And so the brain sort of needs that time to adjust, because it's a major stressor on the brain. It's like, what on earth is going on here? And it takes that time through the perimenopausal years, and the body system, other body systems as well, your metabolic system, your bones, your joints, your heart, your immune system, your nervous system, significantly the nervous system, they take their time to adjust to this change in hormones, and then its eventual cease of where the ovaries stop producing estrogen and progesterone. So perimenopause gives us that time. The adrenal glands after menopause, during perimenopause itself, the ovaries are still making those estrogen and progesterone, but like we know, it's all erratic, it's declining, and it's causing symptoms and changes in the body. And while this is happening, our adrenal glands, these are two tiny little glands that sit sort of on top of our kidneys, they are responsible for releasing our stress hormones. The adrenal glands and also body fat tissue can start to gradually take over some of the estrogen production during perimenopause, helping to sort of cushion the drop from being so sharp when we actually reach menopause itself. Now, they don't produce loads of estrogen, you know, nothing like what the ovaries are producing, but they can produce a little bit, which just helps to cushion that drop. So in natural menopause, as I mentioned already, our hormones don't fall off a cliff, but rather the body gradually gets to that point where the ovaries no longer produce estrogen and progesterone. And those stormy waters of perimenopause should soon start to calm. And we will tend to find peace kind of a year or two after being postmenopause. So now let's look at surgical or chemical induced menopause. So that occurs when the ovaries stop making hormones suddenly, either due to having the ovaries removed in surgery. So that would be, for example, in a bilateral oophorectomy. That's where the ovaries, both ovaries are removed. Or it could be through medical treatments like chemotherapy, radiation, or medications that block ovarian function. So again, very common in breast cancer treatment, which is what this person who's asked this question today has gone through. So she has reached, she's gone into menopause. Sorry, I've just had a massive brain fog moment. So then the result of that is an immediate and steep drop in estrogen, progesterone, without the gradual hormonal transition. So it's like they just fell off a cliff overnight for her. And it can lead to more intense and abrupt, like, you know, these symptoms just suddenly come out of nowhere. Because again, this is my take on this person's situation, is that she went through this at 41, this treatment, which brought her into chemical menopause. And so she probably at 41, she may have, I don't know, she could write into me and let me know. She may not have started experiencing any symptoms of perimenopause at 41. She may have started to experience some of it, but so subtly that she wouldn't have even chalked anything up to perimenopause. So this is where we say it can be causes sort of abrupt symptoms. For example, severe hot flushes, mood swings or depression, brain fog, other sort of cognitive changes, memory issues, trouble, you know, forgetfulness, lack of concentration, joint pain, vaginal dryness, sleep disturbances. So all of these sort of symptoms can either become much more intense if they were already there, because maybe you'd already started perimenopause. But in this person's case at 41, I'm imagining these symptoms were abrupt. So they just sort of came out of nowhere. She mentioned specifically hot flushes. So again, 41, she probably wasn't already experiencing hot flashes, and they all started during her treatment, and then probably became more intense after the hysterectomy. So the body, you know, we can't say that every single woman who goes into surgical or chemical menopause will have this sort of experience of much more intense symptoms than if they had actually gone through perimenopause. But it is probably the case in most cases for most women. And, you know, biologically, that would make sense, because the body just has no time to adapt, and other systems like the adrenal glands, the stress response system, the nervous system, they're sort of unprepared to pick up that slack, because they're not prepared. They haven't had time to adjust and to come to terms with the change in hormones. They've just suddenly been slung into it overnight, and they're just unprepared to pick up that slack and support you. Now, if you've listened to previous episodes where I talk about how all 12 body systems are impacted by the hormonal shifts and the decline in perimenopause, you know, overnight menopause means that these symptoms just don't get that gradual chance. They don't get the chance to recalibrate and to adapt. I think, I can't remember off the top of my head the number of the 12 body systems episode. It's only a few episodes ago if you flick through the list. You know, the metabolic system, the nervous system, thyroid, stress response system, nervous brain, bones, heart, they're all impacted essentially overnight. So women often report that symptoms feel more sudden, more overwhelming, and harder to manage than they might have if it was natural menopause, more gradual. So understanding that distinction, it helps to explain why some women feel like they've been thrown off a cliff when, you know, after surgical or chemical menopause. So these women could benefit from more urgent or comprehensive support, you know, by way of lifestyle, nutrition, and personalized supplement support, for example. In some cases, women who have gone into surgical or chemical menopause can be candidates for using hormone therapy. It just depends on why they had those treatments, and in some, probably most cases, not. But that would be a conversation to have with their doctor, their oncologist. You know, for example, if the surgery or treatment was a result of a cancer diagnosis where it's an estrogen positive cancer, then in most of those cases, the doctor oncologist would probably advise not to use hormone therapy. And that seems to be the case for this person, because she has specifically asked, what can we do to support our health when hormones are not an option? So I'm assuming they're not an option for her. She's been told that. And she's asking specifically for support of heart, joints, and bone health. So in episode 37 last week, I talked about body identical hormone therapy, as I mentioned. And one of the things I said is that whether a woman chooses to use hormone therapy or not at menopause or during perimenopause, if they're not a candidate, because they've, for example, this person's case where they're not able to take it, we should still support our bodies with lifestyle and nutrition interventions, habits that support our overall health and well-being, and also help to safeguard our future health. So as this person asked, she wants to safeguard heart, joints, bone, and I would add to that brain health, immune health, metabolic health. So either way, using it or not using it, we still need to tap into nutrition and lifestyle support. And I said, you know, essentially that's the work that I do. So there's not one or the other. You'll find a lot of things on Instagram that will, you know, a lot of accounts, a lot of people saying, maybe doctors saying, oh, stuff the nutrition and lifestyle stuff. You just need to be taking hormone therapy. And then you've got, on the flip side of that, you've got other nutritionists, nutritional therapists that will say, don't be using hormone therapy, just use nutrition and lifestyle support. It's not that black and white. There is a grey area where you can use both. But even if you're not using hormone therapy because you don't want to or because you can't, either way, nutrition and lifestyle support needs to be there, because that's the most sort of fundamental way to support your health. You can take all the sort of hormone therapy you want, but if you're eating and living in a way that is not conducive to supporting your heart health, your joints, your bone, your metabolic health, your brain health, your immune system, then you're probably only going to get so far. And then you're, you know, still suffering with certain symptoms, but most importantly, not safeguarding your health, not future-proofing your health. So in answer to this question, I would direct this person back to episode 4, which is what you need for a smoother ride in perimenopause. Although this person is menopausal now because she's got there via the chemical menopause, everything I said in that episode still applies. What you need for a smoother ride in perimenopause, you need, you know, those same nutrition and lifestyle interventions and habits are supportive postmenopause. I'd also direct her to episodes 12, 14, 15, and 16. I don't know what happened why I skipped, but 12, 14, 15, and 16, where I cover my foundational pillars for health and supporting all body systems. So that was, you've got the nutrition side of things, blood sugar balance, nourishment. Then the second pillar is sleep, how to support your sleep and nervous system is the third pillar. So stress support, nervous system support. And then the fourth pillar is exercise, how to support the body, build muscle. So I encourage you to listen to episodes 12, 14, 15, and 16. And episode 17, where I talk about the importance of muscle building. So that sort of follows on from episode 16, because building muscle is so important for safeguarding bones, joints, and heart health. I'd also encourage you to listen to episode 30 for even more guidance on supporting sleep and one of the foundational pillars, and episodes 34, 35, and 26, where I talk about how all 12 body systems are impacted by perimenopause, but also menopause itself. So where I'm talking about perimenopause, if you're postmenopause, it all still applies in terms of the action steps to take. And in those episodes 34, 35, I talk about autoimmunity and gut health, and episode 36 as well, I think. So there's a lot of episodes I'm reading off there, but, you know, rewind this and write the numbers down if you need to. But they really are essential episodes to listen to understand how to support your heart health, joint health, and bone health. Now, in some cases, personalized one-to-one support is needed. So if you do want to speak with me about how we can look at that and see if we're a good fit, just book a discovery call with me via the link in the show notes, or just head over to francescaliparotti.com, and the button for booking a discovery call is on the homepage. Because yeah, in some cases, more, you just need that personalized support. You need somebody to look at you as an individual, not just you as somebody who has gone through the cancer treatment and is now postmenopause. There's also your own history, you know, your own unique case, your own unique set of circumstances that need to be considered as well as what you've been through and where you are now. So yeah, if you think that is what you need, then do please reach out and just book that discovery call, and we can have a chat about it. And that applies to anyone else, you know, listening to this who feels that they may benefit from that too. So thank you for listening to this episode. I hope this person's question and my answer has been helpful, obviously for the person who asked it, but for anyone else as well who may also have these questions. So in next week's episode, I'm going to be answering another question. I can't remember which one that is off the top of my head, but I think the next couple of episodes are going to be answering your questions still. And then we'll get on to some other topics from there. So again, I invite everyone, please send questions over to me via email. My email's in the show notes, but it is just francesca@francescaliparotti.com. I would love to hear your questions. And as I said, I love responding to what people have specifically asked for rather than just guessing what you might want to know or need to know. So have a great week, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye. If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.